Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is, what is this, the second Tuesday? Third Tuesday. It's the second Tuesday of the month. It must be the Entrepreneurial Spirit starring Craig Dean. But where's Craig? No, he has his good friend, partner here, Glenn Gormley. Everyone knows you. You were on the Green Roundtable for a long time. Hi, Glenn.
Hello, Dave. How are you? How you been?
And you actually, sounded English on that. Hello,
yeah,
Dave.
Well,
that's what
mean,
it sounded.
You know, I mean, I've got to surprise Craig because, you know, he'll get a copy of the show and make sure that it meets, you know, his approval.
That's right. And he might be listening live right now. It's possible.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So, Glenn, how are you?
I've been great.
Let's have a private conversation here.
Oh, things are great. You know, the world in infinite green land is well. We're having a good time, meeting an awful lot of great people, and we're very happy.
And you look great. You look happy, joyful, and you are just probably cooking.
With gas, actually.
Yes, don't say that in the small room. But anyway, thank you so much. Okay, so... It's great. You have a couple great guests here today.
We do.
And I'm excited because you were telling me it goes beyond or part of just not just the green movement, but behavioral changes. And that's what it takes, I believe, for the economy to turn around. People have to change from within to make things go their way.
Dave, I think, you know, it was probably going back 2 years ago, we talked about, again, when you try to introduce new products, services, to your customers and to others, that there's going to be that time frame that you've got to deal with to get them involved, to understand that they've been doing things a certain way because they have habits that have been developed over the years. They don't understand. You know, I use the example of, why does somebody use bleach? Well, mom used bleach, grandma used bleach, so on and so forth. And when you try to create change. Again, it's a bit difficult. It takes a little bit of time. But one thing that I've done in the last couple of years, I'm in the sorting business. At the end of the day, I sort through a lot of folks. And by doing that, we get to the right people. We have the right people on the team now. We really do. And this is the exciting part of what's going on at Infinite Green. And, you know, again, in the green movement or sustainability or whatever it may be, you know, it just takes a little bit of time, and you got to stay on the course.
And the key word there is team. Building a great team, and I really liked how you said that, because sometimes it takes a little while to find the right team members, the ones that fit the same attitude, the same core values. Very important, whether it's a business team, a family unit team, or a sports team.
Well, I mean, I even look at, I've been in business for many, many years, and I was in the waste industry, trash business, and my company actually was a me business. It was all about me.
Yeah.
Well, today we have a we business. So that means that others are involved, and it's because I've changed and matured in business, in who I am as an individual, and I'm open to many more suggestions than I would have been 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So these are some things that have really changed for myself, and now I'm able to coach others to get ready for this. And that's what it takes. We're in the coaching business, team building.
Yes, no question about it. And I like that. I mean, really what you're saying is you gain more wisdom as time went on.
Well, I think that's what is that the maturing process?
I think so. I think it's a process you can actually buy somewhere. No, not really. But
no.
Anyway, but I like what you said, and you got some great guests here that I believe have the same philosophy as you, and that's always nice.
Absolutely. And what I'm really excited about, Dave, we've had the opportunity, and I really got to put this one out to Craig Dean. Craig has the most unbelievable way of connecting with people in the community through his businesses that he owned for many years, being in the restaurant business. He came in contact with a lot of folks, and through that, his reputation is impeccable, And again, we've been working together again in really connecting again with many people. And if it wasn't for Craig Dean, I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here today, you know, with the guests that we have. So it's all, you know, again, there's that just that big connectability side of life that's that I'm excited about.
Which is really nice. I mean, I've known Craig quite a while too, and he really knows a lot of people, but he's such a nice person as a human being, and that's really goes a long way, of course, to any team. The foundational issues of core values and integrity, honesty, responsibility, accountability, you can go on and on, and that's Craig Dean.
And I think it also goes to what we've been talking about, you know, again, for the last couple of years, and even in the last 6 months, we've really, you know, put a lot of focus on this. If you look at how everything tends to recycle itself, the business is done a little bit different today in America. And we've gone back to 50 years ago when you could shake a hand, when I could look you and say, you know, in your eye and say, you can count on my organization to take care of this for you. And I think that, you know, this is where customer service has slipped. Again, the integrity, honesty. You know, I remember when I had sold my business, I was asked the question, what's the best thing about your business? Why should I be buying your business? And I get what people are looking for. Well, I'm making just a lot of money. But I said, no. I said, the reputation of this business, yeah, which is a direct reflection of who I am. And that's what Craig, again, brings to business. And I think that we need to put a lot of focus on that. So the group that, you know, that's coming together today, again, we're impacting lives, and it'll be for many, many years to come that we'll start to see significant change.
You know, and I'm glad you said that, and then we'll introduce the guest. However, I've always said, as a CPA, a business consultant, and maybe more even importantly as an NLP practitioner, is what can you give that's beyond your product or service? I think if more people think in terms of business and life that way, they will elevate themselves. As they do that, they will elevate others. What can you give that's greater than your product to service? And that means whether I'm a CPA, whether you sell products in the green area, you know, you can always inspire someone. You can always motivate someone, uplift someone. That's really the key to success, I think.
I believe it's true. I mean, I make a point every week to buy somebody something to eat. No, I did it yesterday.
Yeah, how does that work? You just go to someone you know or someone you don't know?
Yeah, it's a random act of goofiness, okay?
That's so cool, really? So you don't know the person?
I do not know the person. Yesterday it was at my favorite iced tea stop, and the person is standing outside. And the problem is that, you know, they're not really welcome inside, okay? Because, you know, they're not spending any money. So, but when I take them in, they're now my guest.
Yes.
So now when I purchase food, they have the opportunity to sit down and enjoy their food because they're a guest of the restaurant. That changes things drastically.
That is so cool,
so
Glenn.
So that's the best $5 a person could spend every day.
That
but
is
you
awesome.
Only do it once. I do it once a week.
Yeah.
So that's my little and then just for somebody to say like yesterday, gosh, what a great smile you have. And I'm like, thank you. It was worthwhile. So the best $5 I spent yesterday was on buying some food. So it's something to think about.
That's invaluable. You never know what that can do to that particular person, how that can be passed along as a gift and continue to be passed along. That is a real credit to you.
And the last thing I say to them, it will get better for you as I leave.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That's the last, you know, and it, that's something that they get to think about. So.
Nicely done, Glenn.
Thank you very much. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Say it like Elvis.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I knew he could.
Thank you, Priscilla. Thank you.
Priscilla. I'm no Priscilla. Or Priscilla, whatever her name is. Anyway, so we have some great guests. I can't wait.
Go
ahead. Want to introduce?
Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to?
Absolutely.
And in this corner. No, that's my sports show. Let's introduce the fine lady first from Pierce Engineering. Energy. I was going to say engineering. What am I thinking of, Glenn? I have no idea. Energy planning is Sue Pierce, energy consultant. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
And this is great. You're a CPA, too.
I am. I'm a
now
CPA.
Now how do you feel, guys?
I feel lucky.
Yes. Yeah, like Clint Eastwood. You don't have a gun, do you? Okay, so welcome to the show. This is great.
Thank you. It's fun to be here and in such great company and to have a chance to just chat with you for the next few minutes.
Well, actually, we're going to be on till 3 o'clock, so we're going to have a good time. And it's Energy Behavior Management. That's a subtitle on your card. That is sort of cool. So we talked a little bit off the air that you know neuro-linguistic programming as well.
I do. We've journeyed down similar paths, starting out as a CPA and then moving into management consulting and working with lots of people in organizations. And all of those skills that certainly I've been able to pick up along the way, like NLP and other things, I've used and it's certainly all of it has helped me in my work.
I believe it. And we're going to get into exactly what you do and how everyone relates here. And, of course, over in this corner, we have Dennis Johnson, Green Inc. LLC. Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you very much, Dave.
And, hey, you said it like Elvis, too, in a way. we'll have an Elvis contest. Green Inc., tell us what that is.
Well, actually, Green Ink was started when we were in the environmentally responsible toner and ink cartridge business. And that was up in the San Francisco Bay Area. And earlier this year, I moved to Phoenix, and we have been focusing on some energy efficiency products, including introducing a new cooling technology to Arizona.
And if any any state or city needs cooling, you know it's Arizona. Or specifically Phoenix. Well, that sounds cool. Let's go back to Sue for a second. What do you do? And then we'll get back to Glenn and integrate what we're going to talk about.
Well, you know, what I'm doing in Arizona currently is I'm focusing on K-12 school districts. When I moved here, I had been consulting with public entities in the Midwest, and it was very evident to me when I got to Arizona and Phoenix in particular that we had schools that were struggling financially. As a CPA, what I have focused on is helping nonprofits and organizations like K-12 school districts improve their bottom line so that they can operate more effectively and we can put more money into the classroom where we desperately need it. And so when I came here, I saw the energy opportunity. As a facility planner for schools, I saw there was tremendous waste. And so I was given the privilege by Washington Elementary School District to actually design and implement an energy behavior management program, and it has been very successful.
Now, that's interesting, you know, what you said, a behavior management program. Why don't we go into that, if that's okay with you, Mr. Glenn?
Yeah, and, you know, it's for me, I look at it as being very simple. When it comes about, you know, creating change. And I look at something like the mop bucket. And, you know, if you talk about school districts, if you've got cafeterias, maintenance yards, there's so on and so forth, you ask somebody, why do you have 6 gallons of water in a mop bucket? I don't know. Is there somebody who, you know, has shown you that, you know, 3 gallons would get the job done? No. Do you believe that 3 gallons would work? Probably. You know, and so I'm in the same business. Again, I mean, I walk in and that's the first thing I pick up on. So if I'm looking, and we'll just look at a school district. If I could cut 3 gallons of water from every mop bucket in every classroom, in every cafeteria, in every maintenance department, and, you know, generally, you know, where the buses are serviced, there may be 10 to 15 mop buckets filled up daily. So you start to just add all that up. That's thousands of gallons of water. But that's just one part of it. What about all the chemicals that have been used to now fill the mop bucket that are discharged either through the mop sink, the floor drains, poured out in the parking lot, and so on and so forth? So these are the things that we're involved in, and this is what intrigues me, that you start with a mop bucket, it just sounds so simple. But there's all different areas, and we're just not talking school districts. I mean, it's across the board. Areas that we can control costs and redirect these monies. Because really, that's what we're doing. If you're in a tough economic time, you've got to get creative and you need to learn to start redirecting monies.
No question about it. And I totally agree with that. And why don't we go around and I'll ask the question, how do you get behavioral change? And let's go with Sue first. Is, you know, how do you do that? Because I agree that that's going to be the key. It's some of the habits that have existed in the past. It's lack of education. It's just pure habit. They have no clue that there might be something better. I actually call it the third level of thinking. And I don't know if anyone's heard of that, but I'll just briefly go over to set the tone for this discussion. Is the first level is I know what I know. Most people play in the third level. I know my name is Dave. That's it. They know what they know, and they don't go outside that level. The second level is I know what I don't know. And a lot of people play in that level, but it's not good enough still because I know I have an engine in my car. I know that, but I don't know how to fix it. So I know what I don't know. And that's a higher level than the first level. But the third level is I know that I don't know what I don't know. In other words, I know that I don't know what I don't know, meaning I don't have a clue about other things outside my awareness level, but it doesn't mean they don't exist. How do you find it? Mentors, maybe books. The third level of thinking is a way to go. So I just set the tone for that, and if more people played in the third level of thinking, their lives would be much better. The economy would be much better. Everything would be much better. Sue, how do you get behavioral change?
Well, I think there's some basic principles. I think Glenn was talking about how it is really simple. Because first of all, it's in many cases outside of people's awareness. They are doing things over and over again that they are not even aware of. Let's take a K-12 school, for example. In many cases, teachers in Arizona will block a door open in the warmer months when air conditioning is on. They think nothing of it. It might feel too cold in their space, and so they want to warm up the space. Everybody has a different body temperature. And as a result of that, just forever, they've blocked doors open. Or they've left lights on when they left the classroom at the end of the night. Or we leave a computer lab and don't think to turn the computers off. These are habits that occur for a couple of reasons. Number one, no one has called it to our attention. And secondly, we don't have ownership. No one has challenged us to take ourselves on. I am so committed in life to taking myself on and attempting to force myself to take myself on. And I recently lost 40-some pounds taking myself on. And in part, I was thinking, I'm calling on all these school districts and challenging them to change. I need to demonstrate that I can change. And so that was a great opportunity for me to maybe face some of the mindset that teachers face when you ask them to do something differently. So I really think those are the two biggest deals. And then I also believe that team is all important. Schools succeed in changing energy behaviors when they can work as a team and when we can engage students and we're educating them, we're teaching social responsibility, and they get a chance to challenge the educators and the principal. All of these concepts can be rolled into a package and a program.
That totally makes sense. I mean, the awareness level, clearly, and taking ownership, that makes a lot of sense because then that might increase awareness, like, oh, I'll have someone else do it. To I better do it. It might either cost me, or I get an incentive, or I just want to make sure that the planet is in a better condition when I leave than when I started. That's also something to think about. Let's go to Dennis. Behavior change. Do you see it? Do you deal with it? And how do you deal with it?
Well, it's something that we have to deal with every day. I think as I have spent a lot of time in this particular market and looking at energy services and products and technologies, the biggest thing we run into is that people are naturally skeptical. And you have to educate them to overcome that skepticism. And education can be in many forms, from the standpoint of visuals, from the standpoint of auditory type learning. Demonstrations are an excellent way for people to actually see these types of technologies at play. One of the things that Glenn does is Glenn gives a great demonstration. when you see his product actually turn oil into water, it is absolutely amazing. It's kind of like the biblical sense of turning water to wine.
But that's what
he
I was thinking.
A little differently.
I started to get thirsty when you said
I
that.
I think he should dress more biblical than what he does. You know,
you mean put the cape away?
But you're right. Demonstrations, right?
Demonstrations, very much. The other thing that I think is critical that we run into all the time is that timing plays an important role. We all are struggling in this economy looking for ways to save money. And years ago, when everything was robust and people weren't necessarily looking at fuel-efficient vehicles and electric vehicles and, you know, tighter envelopes for their homes and buildings that we're in, it wasn't as big of an issue to look at energy efficiency and all these different new technologies that have come into play. Now, the time is upon us, but people need to be educated. We need to address those things.
That totally makes sense. And I might add a couple things, and we'll get Glenn's comments on this, is also thinking style from short-term to long-term thinking, I think is real critical, and from greedy behaviors or thinking to what's valuable. And Glenn, why don't you comment on that? Because I think that's why the economy is in this mess. Greedy thinking, short-term thinking, and me, me, me.
Yep. Good points. First, back up a minute to what Sue had said about the door being open. Okay, that might be something as simple as, wow, I'd like to get some fresh air into the classroom. And if you go backwards a little bit, and I'm a big backwards guy. I don't mean that I'm backwards in the sense that, you know, I don't get it, but I look at how did we get to this point? Okay, so if fresh air is important and the door's closed because the air conditioner's on. The air conditioning recycles the air. So, but the teacher knows that if I prop the door open and I get a little fresh air, the kids are probably not leaning back yawning. A little bit of fresh air, they perk up a little bit. So we've seen a lot of that. So those are part of the things that we will change in the future by introducing new products, new ideas. But something that I do, and again, because at the end of the day, it's cut to the chase. I mean, business is business. I mean, we understand that, you know, it's profits that we're after. But I look at where there's going to be failure. There just is. It's human nature. And so what I put some focus on is I actually plant the objection. I let somebody know that this is going to happen before it happens, because it's much easier because they're prepared for it. So a lot of times it catches people off guard and they're like, well, you know, I don't want to fail. I take that personal if I'm going to fail. So I always go back to my favorite mop bucket, because if you ask somebody, you know, why are you doing something a certain way? Well, this is just the way we do it. So if I come up to the mop bucket and I draw a line with a Sharpie at 3 gallons, when they go to fill it the next time, they look down. They go, oh, that's 3 gallons. So it starts the process and it accelerates things, because you will experience failure. This is what I've come up with in the last 2.5 years of my journey of talking about green. Because people, when they talk about green, they think I'm getting ready to bankrupt them.
That's sort of a misconception, right, out there.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, I'm here to save you money and redirect. So I have a little bit different approach on how I get in and start challenging people, because that's when you experience failure, you do take it personal.
And we got a compliment. I just got a text. Great show topics today. So good job, you guys.
Great.
From one of our great listeners. So why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion. And this can apply not in just the green industry, by the way. Any behavioral change, and if you play in the third level, any type of business, anything in life, in sports, will certainly improve. That's our objective here. We'll be right back.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit. Pinch hitting for Greg Dean is Glenn Gormley, Infinite Green. This is great, Glenn. It's always nice seeing you again.
Thank you, Dave.
And, of course, we have some in-studio guest Dennis Johnson from Green Inc. LLC. And we have Sue Pierce, Pierce Energy Planning. And we've been talking about behavioral changes, which is so critical. It's part of education. It's breaking habits. Glenn, I have a question. You mentioned about failure. How do you define failure? Because you said people ultimately will fail. So I'm just sort of curious how you define it.
It goes back to what you had said earlier, Dave. They already know what they're doing. They believe that they've got this one figured out. So we put something in their hands that's so much different that requires a little bit of coaching. Wait a minute. Listen, I've been cleaning for 10, 15 years. What could be different? Okay. Take a test drive on this one. Let me know how it works out. That's what I'm describing.
Gotcha.
Then generally we find that person becomes our champion because we come back and we get another chance to show them the difference, and they usually sell it to their manager. And when they go to their manager and they say, wow, this is going to make my job so much easier, and I really want to get this job done, the manager, if he's got it going on, he's going to say, I've never seen this guy act like this before. So failure actually is really the success story.
See, that's great. I know in NLP, and Sue, I bet you remember some of these NLP presuppositions, is there's no such thing as failure, only feedback. But that's exactly what you're saying. They're getting feedback, which is brilliant, which is great, because once they see different results and remarkable results, how can you go back to the past habit, right?
They actually carry the message.
Yeah.
And it's much easier. It's very duplicatable at that point.
No doubt about it. Now, everyone in this room has a passion. We were talking a little bit off the air about that. And let's start with Sue. How did you get this passion in what you're doing now? I mean, what sparked you? What ignited your flame to have such a passion to help, in this case, school districts save money, energy savings, and other things along the green area? Where did that passion come from?
That's a great question. You know, I have been interested in public policy since I was a kid, and my mother, who was very much into the political process, would bring all kinds of legislators over to the House, and we would meet them from the time we could walk. And so I always had an interest in public policy. And as that evolved, I became more involved in governmental entities. As an adult then, I was committed to helping government save money. I have to say I'm extremely conservative. I'm unbelievably tight. And wanting governments to use taxpayer dollars in a very, very efficient and effective way became a passion of mine years ago. And so I've spent my life in that arena helping them achieve that. And so this school passion has evolved naturally from that. When I see kids coming to school in the morning, and I do, without shoes on, with no food, going home on the weekend to a house without food. I mean, it becomes very apparent to me that we have to use our money in other ways.
No question about it. I was going to suggest Sue run for president of the United States. I like your philosophy. Come on, I'll vote for you. How about you guys?
Absolutely.
There we go. So, Dennis, your passion. I mean, you're right in the thick of energy savings, cooling, green type of things. How did you get that passion?
Well, I think, Dave, that it all began when I started realizing from working with Everett some of the things that we were involved with, all the misinformation that is out there that companies promote that lead people down a path that once you get to the details of a particular technology and a situation, it's amazing what happens. The electric car controversy over in California and everything that happened with that is a case in point. Great technology, still needed a lot of investment from the standpoint of the primary technology being batteries, and that is happening. You've seen a lot of companies that have come to market now in that, Tesla being one of them. Nissan has just brought one out. Chevrolet has one. So I think the electric car has a place in our marketplace, and I think it'll actually happen. A lot of these products, these technologies that we touch, aren't a round peg in a round hole. They're specific applications. They're not for everybody, but they can do a lot of good in the marketplace when applied correctly.
So it sounds like you really want to enhance the quality of life in the world and make a difference.
Absolutely.
There's nothing better than that, Glenn. And you do that every once a week. Just buying lunch, not to mention your company does it every day.
Yeah, but in my story, again, I always put a crazy twist on things. I'm a better person today than I was 5 years ago. So I was in an industry for 30 years. I believed I forgot more than most people knew in the business. You just get to that point where I've seen it all in 30 years. And then to come back into the market 3 years later and go, wow, what has changed? Where's the upbeat part of doing business, of life, of just reaching out to others? And I actually, from being an entrepreneur for all those years, I didn't realize that the gift that was provided to me. And so the business just, I stumbled across this. And I said to myself, well, self, you spent 30 years filling a big hole in the ground with junk, and now you're on the other side.
You're undoing it.
Yes. It's been very rewarding, and passion is contagious.
Yeah.
And when you start to see where you can impact, and I go to the school districts, we talk about kids coming to school without shoes, not having food, going home to maybe an empty house. What about motivation? What about leadership? What about mentoring? What about all these things that we can do within the district that's outside of our business? And that's one thing that Craig Dean has really instilled, in my life, is that you must be a part of the community. And that's something that I was missing. I didn't get it. I was a part of the community, but I was not a part. And now through organizations like Kiwanis and you know, other areas that we have a reach into, it's made a huge difference. And this is where we've made the connection with the Washington School District. This is how I met Sue and Sandy Benson and Jill Hicks and all the other great individuals that are passionate about what they're doing. So there's many others behind the scenes that have all brought us together today. And that's why I'm excited.
And it's interesting you say behind the scenes, because these people that have such passion, it doesn't matter if they're behind, in front of the camera or whatever, they're just doing their part to make everything better.
They impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have a chance to get involved with a child who may be discouraged going back home after school because it's just not, wow, mom and dad aren't home, things are a little tight, you know, the economy is really hurt. They hear that every day, okay? So that's going to affect them in years to come. But if they can get involved in programs and we can free up some money for some extra activities after school, even if it's just 10 children that we touch in a school, that one person may be our next president, as you would always like to say, Dave. We have no idea how we may create greatness.
And it really goes from a selfish act to selflessness is what you're talking about, is a state of selflessness.
Absolutely.
And that's huge. And just imagine what the world would be like if everyone had that state of mind, being selfless, always trying to help the other person. That'd be a magical place right here on Earth.
No, it absolutely would be. You know, there's so many opportunities for us to reach out, whether it's in a school or anywhere else. And, of course, we're coming into a season where a lot of people are thinking about that. Obviously, we need to think about it all year long. But just to get us off track, you know, my family likes to do some charitable activity together, meaning my adult children, daughter-in-laws, my husband and I, during the holiday season. And so we were starting to work on what we're going to do this year. And one of the interesting things is, as my husband was calling some of the different food kitchens and soup kitchens, et cetera, they're already booked through almost all of December with volunteers. And I guess that was awesome to hear. But the other thought that it drove home to me was, you know, we always in November and December are jumping in there to do our once a year volunteer activity. What if all year long we would reach out, kind of like Glenn, taking someone to lunch every week? That really would be a major change.
That would be. I mean, I agree. And I think that's maybe part of habit, too, when a certain season comes by, it sort of clicks in an anchor and you think, oh, yeah, it's my time to do this. I think we all do that. But you're right. If we can really look at it a little differently as perhaps I mean, I was going to use the word obligation, but go from obligation to really a state of being, you know, just a natural way of always thinking of someone else first, perhaps.
You know, another thing that I've seen, and it's happened with my business, with me personally, try to exhaust all of your resources, okay? And because sometimes we just give up. We say, we can't. Well, we've put enough effort towards that. I've got to give the Washington School District a lot of credit. They put a business advisory group together for businesses like myself. It's basically impossible for me to do business with a giant. I'm a small company. But they saw that, and they saw a need to get involved with businesses. So when they did that, they put a committee together that reached out to companies like mine and said, what can we do to help you do business with the district? That swung a gigantic door open for me to now have, again, more resources at my disposal. This is where I'm able to bring Dennis Johnson and this great information that he may share. It's an opportunity, again, for Sue to tap into more resources that we have. This creates that domino effect. And this is where we're now seeing, again, substantial change. And I've got to give it to the district. They've really done a great job with that.
I have to jump in here and say that it all starts with leadership. Amazing leadership. And I give tremendous credit to the superintendent of the Washington Elementary School District, Dr. Cook. She has created this sphere of people around here she has mentored and tutored all of them to be outward focused and to reach into the community. She understands customer service and that we serve taxpayers and neighborhoods. So I just there's a huge piece of this, and it's leadership, energy behavior management. It only happens in an organization where there is leadership.
You know, it reminds me of one of the most successful companies the world's ever known, certainly the most profitable airline the world's ever known, and you know who I'm talking about, Southwest Airlines. I believe the chairman, the founder, is Herb Keller. I think that's his last name. I always admired him. He always took a pyramid and reversed it. So if you look at a pyramid, and there's a big base on the bottom, and it looks like everyone works for the point at the top, the leader, the CEO, or whatever, he reversed it, and he always felt he worked for everyone else. And if governments, and it sounds like the Washington School District is looking at it that way, what a nice attitude. That makes a difference.
You're darn right it does. I mean, you know, small businesses are challenged just with the landscape of America today. You know, we're undercapitalized. We've got all these obstacles ahead. And that was just such a breath of fresh air for me personally and for my company. And the first thing that I did is, because I've got a very good reach into others that can also get involved. And this goes back to when you get more involved and it's the leadership. Listen, I'm the captain of my ship. I get it. And I've got to show up every day, whether, you know, I have to call down to the engine room and I have to say all ahead full. They don't know if there's an iceberg or we're running into land. They just sock the juice to it. Okay? They have to trust that I am going to be a great leader. So, and this is what we've experienced, Sue, and that's a great point to make, that it does start with great leadership.
One of the other key points that I wanted to mention is all of the things that we're talking about is great, because it really can make an impact in so many ways. But one important aspect, I believe, is validation. And I know Sue probably isn't going to toot her own horn, but I'm absolutely amazed. You talk about a small business. Sue is a small business, and she has gone into Washington School District alone. And over the course of time, through behavior management, behavior modification, has saved them over $4 million.
Amazing. That is remarkable. If anyone said that before you started with anyone, would they think it's even possible? I mean, that's phenomenal. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's really, again, it's a tribute to the leadership of that district and what their credibility allowed to happen with the program. And when we started, no one thought it was possible. We set a simple 10% goal, and I appeared before the governing board of the Washington School District. Dr. Cook introduced what I was going to be launching, and one of the school board members said to me, it'd be awesome if it could happen, but I think it's impossible, but go for it, right? And that was a little 10% goal. Now, 2 years later, we were at 26% in terms of a reduction in their district-wide electric use. And they have 35 campuses. They're not a small district. So the dollars added up. And so now the people believe. They're huge believers. It's that whole process we've been talking about.
You know, what's interesting, you really hit something very important, all of you have. But the believing part is critical as far as behavior management in itself. And case in point is no one was able to break the 4-minute mile until Roger. I forgot what was the name of that guy. I wanted to say Roger Bailey.
Bannister.
Yeah, Roger Bannister.
Roger Bannister.
That's right. And when he, you know, what was interesting is he had the belief it could be done, and he did it. And no one's ever done that in the history of running the mile before. But the time he did it, the very next year, 38 people did it. What does that tell you about belief? How belief can limit you or explode you into great new ways of being. Belief is powerful. And when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion with a most amazing panel. I got to tell you, Glenn Gormley, Dennis Johnson, and Sue Pierce, phenomenal people that go way beyond their product or service. They are really making a difference in the world. I like that. Everyone else should follow their lead, and that is leadership. We'll be right back.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit, usually Craig Dean is in the house, but pinch hitting is Glenn Gormley from Infinite Green. We also have special in-studio guest Dennis Johnson, Green Inc., LLC, Sue Pierce from Pierce Energy Planning. Now, we've been talking a lot of behavior management, I'll call it, belief systems. I call it the internal guidance system, the things that are intangible but control behaviors. That's values, beliefs, identity, skill sets, too, very important. And, of course, you all hit it on the head, leadership is very important. Now, Glenn, during the break you mentioned we've all had a degree one way or the other of humble pie, you called it. And I think what you're saying is the good news about the collapse of the economy is that maybe this will create behavior change because the old way doesn't work.
It worked for me. I'm the poster child for that. I had it all figured out. I sold my business. I was set. I'm in California when I realized that my wealth is gone. I'm driving back home going, what to expect? It created, though, an opportunity for me. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. I'm making a difference. I didn't look at it that way before, but now I do.
Well, absolutely, and that's really the most effective way, consistent with evolving. I mean, why are we here if we're not here? I don't think anyone in this room would agree. We're here just to accumulate toys and have meaningless fun all the time. Fun is good, but not meaningless fun. But we're here to evolve and grow. And as we grow and we become more valuable, can't we give more value to others? I think that's the whole theme of the world. Sue, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Glenn's comments are too honest because I have to relate that the only reason I came to Arizona 7 years ago was greed. It was relocating from my lifetime home, my husband and I, because we had an opportunity in real estate in Arizona. So we took everything to Arizona to invest and assure ourselves of a very cushy retirement, and in the process lost everything. And so Arizona has been new beginnings for me. I have to agree with you that I would not be the person I am today if I had not gone through the struggles of the last several years. If I had stayed in Iowa with my comfortable business, I would not be the person I am today. It's an interesting journey. I think I can maybe offer more value to people now. And I also think I've positioned myself to do more than I ever would have been able to do if I hadn't gone through this metamorphosis.
So it's a blessing is what we're saying is what happens often is a blessing. A lot of people think it's a curse, but you can reframe that at all times. Now, Dennis, Sue was talking about, and I think Glenn as well, you know, opening the door, especially in the Washington School District. I think we were talking on the break about that, is that you've proven the point, Sue, that it can create savings. You said you're at about 29% already. And that's remarkable because that creates beliefs, right, Dennis? And what's the next step? I mean, now they're going to say, wow, things can happen. What's the next evolution of saving money?
Now we start taking a look at other technologies, technologies that can return investment within less than a year, something that Sue has already done at the Washington School District has saved a tremendous amount of money simply from behavior modification. Now they need to look at new technologies to get to the next level that you want to get to is 40%. Yes. So, and Dave, we're talking millions of dollars over time from all of these activities. So.
Phenomenal. And the next level is the third level. It's like, what haven't we thought of? And bring it on, right, Glenn?
Well, yeah, because, okay, so we're talking energy right now. But we had an opportunity to meet with the purchasing department at the district. And, you know, everybody would take a look at, well, let's focus on cleaning the classrooms. That's one way to look at it. But you've got to take a look at the district puts 1.5 million miles on their buses every year. Okay, that's wheels go round and round. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's when you get into the maintenance side of the district. There's huge opportunity for savings when you start to look at maintenance in other technologies that are available outside of energy. So this will parlay itself and start to move in through the various departments. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts to catch on and they get excited. And then there's more, you know, it's just great when there's more people in the parade. And that's what gets me excited.
You know, what's interesting, this is what came to mind, and I guess it's the CPA part of me now, Sue. So what we have here is, you know, savings, phenomenal. They're great. But without some type of budgetary constraints on the expenditures, that has to be an important ingredient, I would think, because you don't want to save money but then foolishly spend money as well. You want to comment a little bit on that?
Well, I think what you've said is so true. The impetus in Arizona for the districts, the school districts, to start looking for savings in the arena of energy was a public policy change. The legislature did away with a special little property tax called excess utilities about 2.5 years ago. Excess utilities was a property tax that a school district could tack onto their property tax bill to cover utilities. So it didn't matter how much you spent. There was a little tax that you could always add to cover that cost. The legislature made a decision, passed a law that would eliminate that tax for school districts. And this huge evolution I'm seeing in the state of Arizona in terms of energy savings in schools really evolved from that.
Very interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, so it took the crutch away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it forces you to prop yourself up and say, hey, I better do this myself.
Absolutely. And I think it's been a really good thing. There's been so much money saved in districts all over the state as a result of that change in policy.
And then it forces you to take a look at some other things. You know, one thing that we've seen in the last 3 years is deferred maintenance. And you know, on one hand, one would think, well, you know, we're just going to save all this money because we're going to cut back on taking care of this equipment. I mean, somebody makes an investment in equipment. So why do we take away from the maintenance side of it? Because we all know that it comes back to haunt you later on. So again, these are things that we bring to everybody's attention. When the crutch is taken away, you have to get more creative. When my wealth was taken away, I became more creative.
Was that a sense of urgency? You know, there's two things in life that are usually motivating: pain or pleasure. And sometimes it's the pain that motivates people, like when they hit rock bottom, Or sometimes it's just the pleasure to make a difference. And both are very motivating. So the question would be, let's say in the school district, was it pain, you think, that was motivating to them, or was it the opportunities they saw of saving money?
I think probably both would be the accurate answer. I think they're thrilled at saving money, but I think they were really worried. There have been a lot of cuts to schools in Arizona public schools, and some of those cuts have resulted in a loss of staff, a loss of teachers. So it's been a difficult journey for them, too.
You know, I'm just going to – we only have a few minutes left, but one thing I'll throw out is the importance of leadership is at the top, because, like I said, it's not just the savings end, but it's the global picture, too, and how you can how the leaders can get their point across, making sure they have the proper disciplines, the proper systems in place, whether it's total quality management or Lean or Six Sigma. Those are the new technologies, I guess you could call it. But how important is that, Dennis, is to have really solid leaders that are in place to implement and to overview any cost savings?
Well, I think it's critical. I think that besides leadership, you need to have vision. And you need to be able to sift through all of the information that is presented to us to make informed, comprehensive decisions.
No question about it. Why don't we go around and give some contact information out if you want. Let's start with Glenn. How do they get in touch with you? All that
you
stuff.
Can reach me, Glenn, at cleangreenworld.com. My cell phone is 602-540-8720. And I'm a little shy, a little bashful, so take your chances on giving me a call. No, I would love any. I would reach out and return a phone call. So it would be great to hear from anybody.
That's excellent. How about you, Dennis?
I could be reached on email at Dennis, that's two N's, at greeninnovations.info or via telephone at area code 602-828-4781.
Excellent. And Sue?
You can contact me via email, sue@energyplanning.org. I have a website, energyplanning.org, and a phone number of 480-773-0035.
And with the next couple minutes, let me just ask the question. How are all three of you going to be collaborating in the future?
Well, it started with the Washington School District. Which, again, it goes back to leadership and others that have brought us all together. We could have never found this group by interviewing 5,000 people. It just would have never happened. It was meant to be, and we're having a good time. And the school districts are going to be the real winners, along with us. But they're definitely going to be the winners.
And you see this as a model for going national, perhaps, because if you can do it here, I suspect you can do it in a lot of places.
Well, I am working with probably 200-plus schools in Arizona right now and some other schools nationally. You know, I've been working in Vermont and starting to work in New Mexico, so it's kind of spotty around the country.
Wow.
So I don't know where it's going to go. You know, I'm always amazed at the people that are attracted into my life. It's an interesting phenomena.
And there's probably no such thing as accidents at all. I think it's just it happens sort of like the law of attraction, don't you think?
It's very much like the law of attraction. It is the law of attraction.
And if people get in their own way, I think, for you know, really recognizing that or preventing that, if you just step out of your own way, let go of the resistance, and just exercise and perform your passion, everything comes together.
Suit up, show up, and get out of the way.
I like it. That's even better. And this, look, an hour has flown by. You guys have done great. Thank you so much, Glenn Gormley. Say hi to Craig for me.
I'll definitely do that.
But we'll be
that.
Seeing you again.
Absolutely.
Quite a bit. And Dennis Johnson, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Dave.
Sue Pierce, thank you so much. This was great. I think it's all about behaviors. Look for the change, and then you can be the gift that keeps giving, because if you change, maybe your kids will look at you and say, wow, maybe this is time for us to change too. And stay tuned for Understanding Autism right up at 3. See you then.
You have found Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.